You're listening to the Back Home Network, presented by Home Field Apparel.
And welcome, Hoosier fans, to another victorious episode of the Assembly Call, as today your Indiana Hoosiers defeat the Michigan State Spartans 82-69 in front of a raucous Simon Scott Assembly Hall crowd. It is the third straight double-digit Big Ten victory for the Hoosiers, who have completely turned their season around. After the debacle in Happy Valley, it felt like things were reeling, and the Hoosiers have come back and won three straight games to get to 4-4 in conference play and right in the thick of it, 13-6 overall, and doing it in a way that is fun. I mean, they've gotten back to really playing defense, playing hard, changing some things up on offense. And as we'll talk about, the formula was different today than what they've had in the past, but the result was the same, a 13-point victory and just a terrific performance by the Hoosiers. I'm your host, Jared Morris. I'm here with the coach, Brian Tonsoni, and Andy Bottoms, and we are going to break it all down for you on this edition of the Assembly Call IU postgame show. And guys, let's start this show the way that we start every show, and that is with our Hoosier Proud banner moment. And for the banner moment today, I'm going to go back to close to the midway point in the second half when this was still a close game. You know, Indiana struggled a little bit to open the second half. Michigan State came back. They even took a lead at one point, and it was 54-51, Indiana in the lead. And you'll recall, Trace Jackson Davis got a big rebound. He had an easy outlet to Trey Galloway, didn't take it. Instead, he pushed it, kind of recognized what was happening, drew the defense, and knew that Scoop was behind him, trailing for a three, kicked it out to him. Scoop drains it. That makes it 57-51. It was the third three that Tamar had made. And then a possession later, there's a loose ball going on the Michigan State end. Miller Kopp dived after it. We didn't get it. Then Malik Renew dived after it. A sign of Indiana's just hustle and toughness that they showed all game long. We end up getting the ball on the next possession. Trey Galloway makes a beautiful cut. Trace Jackson Davis finds him. It's 59-51. And really, I'm not sure Michigan State got any closer or much closer from there, as the Hoosiers would then extend the lead out and really nurse that 10-12, 13-point lead for the rest of the half. What was so great about those two plays in particular is, you know, this is a game where Jalen Hutcherfino, who has been so good ever since X got hurt, was never able to get in the flow offensively. He's 1-for-6, only scores 2 points, and we've been talking about it. There's going to be a game that's going to come where the Wings have to score, and boy, today did they. Trey Galloway with 17 points was just tremendous, especially early, knocking down some big three-pointers. Tamar Bates also with 17 points. Those guys stepped up and gave Indiana the scoring punch that they need. And Trace Jackson Davis, who finishes with 31 points and 15 rebounds, but he was, you know, uncharacteristically off the mark offensively, missed a lot of shots he normally makes, you know, but was able to find ways to produce anyway, as he just continues to do, and, you know, showed off his great passing, led Indiana with 4 assists, you know, and so just a huge part of the formula today for Indiana to come out and get the victory, even with Jalen Hutcherfino struggling, but just, you know, really good performances all around by everyone who played, as we'll get into here on the show. All right, guys, let's talk about our presenting sponsor. Home Field Apparel, well on for the team. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, our banner moment today, as always, brought to you by our friends at Home Field Apparel, now in their sixth season of sponsoring the Assembly Call and their second as the presenting sponsor for the Back Home Network. And ladies and gentlemen, Home Field Magic is alive and well. The new shirt, now 4-0. Definitely a part of the turnaround, the women's basketball shirt from 1983. I'm not sure if that's still up there. They had a brand refresh. Some of the stuff is staying. Some of the stuff they're taking away. But if you haven't gone to homefieldapparel.com recently and checked out their IU collection, as they're always doing, they're adding new stuff, pulling out these great logos from the past, bringing them back, breathing new life into them. They put them on comfortable materials. The stuff lasts through many washings. And Home Field is just, you know, a great Indiana-based company that we love supporting. They love supporting us. And the nice thing is, you know, if you have people in your life who aren't Indiana fans, they have 130, 140 different schools, however many there are. And all through 2023, they're going to be doing refreshes. So there's going to be new stuff there, always a new reason for you to go to Home Field Apparel and wear your stuff during games. Because like I said, Home Field Magic is back. You know, let's carry this as far as we can. So go to homefieldapparel.com. Use the promo code HOME, H-O-M-E, to get 15% off your first order. That's promo code HOME for 15% off. Again, the website, homefieldapparel.com. Wear one for the team. All right, well, it is time to move the ball, find the open man, and get some opening thoughts from the rest of our team. Andy, we will start with you, your bottoms line on this Indiana victory.
Well, your IU women's basketball shirt appears to be lucky, and I got this pullover from my mom for Christmas, and it's been worn each of the last three games. So before anybody questions whether you or I own other sets of clothing, please know that we do. And while the show is not superstitious, we are a little bit stitious. Yeah, I mean, just a great performance. Again, fell behind by nine in the first half, just clawed back, fought back. And really, you know, the hallmark of Michigan State teams over the years has been toughness. And IU out-toughed them today in key moments and key stretches. The one you talked about with diving on the floor for the loose ball. There was the one after the under eight timeout. IU comes out, is at the free throw line. Trace misses the front end of a 1-1, which he got fouled going up for an offensive rebound as well. You know, Kopp gets a rebound. Geronimo ends up getting an offensive rebound. And Trace ends up putting it back in. And just a number of huge, huge plays by the team. Played through some adversity. To your point, you know, Huchefino got a little bit banged up, wasn't playing as well. Tamar Bates stepped up in a huge way. And a big day for the Bates family all around, as it would turn out. But, yeah, it just tremendous resilience by this team, both within portions of the game, which is one of the things that really plagued them during the losing streak, is things would start to go wrong during the game, and they couldn't get the car back between the lines. And they've been able to do that really consistently these last few games. Another really strong defensive effort. And TJD, man, I don't know what else you can say at this point. Just, you know, just dropped 31 and, you know, didn't shoot the ball as well as he had, you know, rimmed out a few others, but just continues to carry this team. Had a couple great moments in borderline taunting, apparently, but great moments nonetheless. So just huge performance. Glad to see this team keep it going, and been a great last three games.
31, 15, 4, and 5 blocks for Trace Jackson Davis. Unbelievable. Coach, it's Tonsoni time. What's on your mind?
This is fun. You know, playing the right way, doing a variety of things. There's so much to talk about. Obviously, you have three players who just played outstanding, but there were some players who didn't get a lot of stat sheet stuff. I thought Renew was fantastic. I thought Miller Kopp was a big part of this win in many ways, setting the tone early. I don't like getting a technical and doing all that, but he wasn't going to back down. And you were worried Michigan State went on a 10-0 run after that, but Indiana responded, and his dive on the loose ball, his dunk. So this was a total team effort, total staff effort. We did what we did well, which is that low post stuff. I was a little worried that it wasn't working super well early, but I think there was some more movement. And then in start the second half, they moved TJD a lot more. They didn't put him in the low post as much. But here's the thing. You played two teams against two teams who don't like to give up threes, and Underwood stuck with it, and TJD just kicked his rear end. So then you have Izzo, who doesn't like to give up threes, sends a multitude of doubling. He doubled from the same side. He doubled on the dribble, you know, and then Indiana responded with a variety of actions off that low post. It was just a chess match back and forth, and that's what you want. You want your program, your coach, and your players going toe-to-toe with the best. Sometimes you're going to win like today. Sometimes you might lose, but you want them to go toe-to-toe. That was missing in the three games that Indiana lost, and it hasn't been missing. But we made an excellent coach change his M.O., and still kicked his rear end with the wing scoring and the shooting from three from some players that I'm sure he didn't expect. That's exciting.
I'm sure Tom Izzo will be very gracious for the Indiana role players stepping up like he always is in the postgame. Ryan, a surprise guest here on the assembly call. I love how the wins like this, they just pull all of us, all of us here for the show. Your thoughts? Nothing to rant about, so... What are your thoughts?
Yeah, no, I got in at 1:30 last night from the East Coast visiting family, and I rallied for you guys today. I had to be on for this one. But, You know, I know we're all going to talk about what a great win this was, and it might be the best win of the season given the opponent and the need to keep this momentum going. I think Illinois or this are the two you could look at, and Illinois being on the road maybe gets an edge. But this is Michigan State, I think, is the second best team in the conference, or has played as the second best team in the conference all season. And so to beat them and beat them, I mean, this is finishes at what, 13? This was basically a 15 point win. You know, I mean, you get a couple buckets late, whatever, but here's the thing. I mean, we're going to talk about what a great win this is and great performances and all of that. This is what we expected this season. This should be the standard for this season. I mean, this is a win we should have come in. If things gone well this year, you're expecting to win this game. And so that's the challenge for this team moving forward is this isn't just a great performance. This should be the performance. And so this is what this team is capable of, even without Xavier Johnson, even without a fully healthy Race Thompson. It was great to see him get in the game. Clearly not ready yet, I think, but it's nice to see him get out there. It's a baby step towards this working. But this is the standard. And so moving forward, we should expect this from this team. And this team, more importantly, should expect this from itself. And Mike Woodson's been saying the difference is we're guarding. He is absolutely right. It starts on the defensive end. This team has been able to score points this year for the most part, throughout the Kansas game, but has been able to score points this year. We know that. The defense has been the difference maker. And again today, started off a little rough, sort of with some of the rotations, and Joey Hauser's making some tough shots. But they locked down about the 12-minute mark of the first half, and they didn't let up. There were errors in there, and there were some bad coverages and a guy getting beat off the dribble. But in general, they did not let up and held Michigan State to 69 points. That's what this team is capable of, even with those other guys out. I wrote at the beginning of the year, and I keep coming back to this. This is a supremely talented team. It's the most talent, pure talent-wise, most talented team Indiana's had in probably two decades. This is what they're capable of. Seeing Malik Renew get back to where he was, even without Jalen Huchefino playing much today, or, you know, playing to his level today and playing his level of minutes, this team has what it takes to win these games. And so it needs to now have that confidence and carry that forward and not let down and not back down. Cause now you got a rocket ship behind you. You can rise up the ranks of the Big Ten, because if you can beat Michigan State, you can beat a lot of the teams in this conference. And so this is the standard. It was a great performance, but this needs to be what they do going forward.
Well, you know, and that's the great part about this game, right? So you're coming off the Penn State loss. You just need to bounce back and just stabilize the season. They did that against Wisconsin.
Right.
And then it's like, okay, well, now can you do this on the road? Because we've seen Indiana pop up for one good game, but can you do it on the road? They went and did it on the road. Okay, you did it for 80 minutes, but now can you come home and back up a big road win by playing the same way at home? And they did it. And so that's 120 minutes of this type of basketball, Ryan, which to your point should be the standard. And I think now, cautiously, tentatively, you can start to believe in it a little bit more, you know, because I know early on, you know, Indiana gets down and shoot. I mean, at one point in the first half, you know, Michigan State took that 10-point lead. But the thing that was different is I was never worried. Like, we were playing hard from the tip. They were executing a little bit better than we were doing their stuff, than we were doing our stuff earlier. And I thought they were making tough shots and we were missing shots that we usually make. And so we just stayed calm, continued doing what we were doing, and just kind of slowly took control of the game. And that's what you want to see at home. You know, a team where it's not just kind of this frantic run here and frantic run there. This was just good, solid basketball from Indiana, where you had some, you know, some role players step up that will often happen at home. And, you know, to your point, the players get a ton of credit for this turnaround. But I thought this was the third straight really well-coached game. The guys were prepared to play. The adjustments and kind of the moves in-game, you know, going away from Jalen in the second half when he wasn't playing well. Coach is pushing a lot of buttons. You see him coaching. You saw him taking time with Malik Renew and Jordan Geronimo to really coach him up. And so as critical as we were,
he's far more engaged in-game.
Yes.
I think that's clear.
Yes.
Far more engaged in
game. As critical as we were, and rightfully so, it's been a whole program turnaround that has pushed, you know, these last three games. And it's produced great basketball to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, what they have done, they've made changes in their attack. They've made changes in defensively. You know, they give up over 1 point per possession today, so it wasn't a perfect defensive game. But I thought defense set the tone early because they were up in the grill of the guards. Michigan State's guards are going to – yes, Hauser is good, and the big guy down low is good, but these guards were able to stay in the game against Purdue, beat Rutgers in their last game, and their guards are dynamic, and you didn't get let them get some free space. And that's the constant thing in the last two games is you're getting into the best players and you're making them uncomfortable for, you know, in the start, and that gives you energy as well as opposed to seeing just wide-open shots getting banged in early. I was a little worried early when the 10-0 run after the cop technical. I thought, oh, man, they're really guarding the low post offense that Indiana runs. Trace is missing some shots. The movement's not there by design, but it's just not working. But then the players hit a couple big shots. The defense got a couple runouts. And then all of a sudden you started getting get TJD the ball in the low post. If they stop you, get him the ball at the elbow, get him at the high post. And I thought Woodson did that today. And, man, it takes guts, everyone, to not play Hood Schifino in a game where you don't have X, you don't have Hood Schifino, and you're going to trust Trey Galloway. I know he had a couple possessions where we kind of got, a little down on him back-to-back, but Trey Galloway was fantastic. And the coach trusts him. And I think, whatever the discord or disconnect was in those three games, I think there was something between coaching staff and players. They all weren't seeing eye to eye. They weren't getting along. That was true. It's been worked out, and that trust level is now back, and that's why Indiana's playing a lot better.
Yeah, I think that the interesting thing is for about 3 weeks, we didn't see adjustments. And now we're seeing tons of adjustments even in game, not just to the approach, but in game changes based on what's going on. And so I feel like it was almost like Mike Woodson had set this up as like, I'm going to tune the car at practice and we're just going to roll with it and not tinker in games. And now he's tinkering in games and he's making the right calls. The guy's a smart, he's a smart basketball mind. It just felt like he wasn't deploying all his weapons at his disposal for a couple weeks now. And now we're seeing changes in games. And we're also, of course the defense has changed. And of course, I'm sure they're running practices differently and all that, because you're hearing about this. But I do think that those changes in games have been the difference in some of these games, is that when things aren't going right, you take a quick timeout and change it. We weren't seeing that for a long time. When a certain ball coverage isn't working, you change it. You change who's guarding who. You change the offense and how you're running things, and you run different sets. That's encouraging as heck, because these guys are executing when they're given those changes.
Andy, let's talk a little bit more about the wings. Second and fourth in minutes today, Trey Galloway and Tamar Bates, who combined for 34 huge points, as we mentioned, combined to go 8 of 9 from downtown, 6 of 6 from the free throw line. They were ready for their moment, and we're going to talk about it in the meaningful moment. I thought a number of Trey's threes were really important, the timing of them, just to help kind of stem the tide on Michigan State. But those two guys were just terrific today, finding their spots and stepping up and just making big plays.
Yeah, I just can't say enough about those guys, especially in a game when Hood Schifino, struggled and then, seemed a little bit banged up and you couldn't really tell until he came back in the game. And even after he came back in, I think he was moving quite as he would normally. But Galloway, as you said at the beginning of the game, scored early, hit those two threes. Two of his threes came off of, we talked about Miller Kopp earlier, a couple of great, one more passes where he just swings the ball into the corner, gets Galloway two threes over the course of the game. And I thought Trey just really played under control for the most part in terms of getting IU into what they wanted to do. And Tamar's shot making was just fantastic and timely in so many key situations. Really helped get the crowd back in the game in the first half with some of the threes that he made. And again, we talked coaching adjustments. I thought they tried to do a little bit of this with Hood Schifino and Trace in the first half, post him and get Jalen on the same side. They got multiple threes out of that with having Tamar out and Trey could kick it back to him. And the only three that he missed was the one that was a little bit deeper toward the end of the first half, but that was a good shot. I mean, the broadcasters asked if it was a good shot. I'm thinking he just hit one from like a step away from where he just shot. Of course it's a good shot.
There was nothing wrong with that shot.
I just thought he hit a bunch of timely ones. My favorite, I think, was the last one that was screw it. I tried to throw it in the post. It got batted back to me. I'm just going to stick it right in this guy's eye.
That didn't work. This is working. Let's go with that.
Yeah. Got to stick with what works sometimes. But no, I just thought he took smart shots, the threes he took within the flow of the offense, but really sparked and got the crowd back in it. And we talk about the 3-point shooting, whether they should take more, you know, again, whether 9 for 15, I think certainly suggests they could or should. But those are such big momentum plays or momentum killers for the other team. And in a home game, to really get the crowd in the game where the roof just wants to blow off of that place, being able to hit some of those timely threes is really important. I thought defensively they were fine. They each had a few moments here and there, but Galloway was really disruptive trying to pick Hogard up full court. And you know, you can't look at the stat line and say A.J. Hogard made 2 field goals and they were both in the last 2 minutes of the game when it was decided. And not give those guys credit for some of the defense they played and things like that. Akins is really the only guy in the perimeter that gave IU trouble.
Love that kid's game.
Just fantastic for those guys to step up. And it's kind of been, Geronimo has been that third guy the last couple of games. He had it in spurts today, had some good energy plays, but really struggled on the defensive end. But, you know, with Jalen struggling, these are the two who really stepped up among – you know, you throw Renew in that mix as well, but just outstanding showing by them. And, you know, 8 of 9 from 3, not too shabby. Didn't miss a free throw between them. Didn't turn the ball over between the two of them. About as good as you could ask for from those guys, for sure.
Yeah, I want to mention Trey Galloway specifically because I texted you guys. I didn't think he played really well in the first half. I think he nailed those 2 threes, which were huge. I thought he wasn't great. His on-ball defense, I think he was almost too far up in his on-ball defense, allowing him to get driven by, and he let a guy by a couple times. And, you know, when you're supposed to be the best perimeter defender on the floor with Jalen Chifino not playing a whole lot, I thought it was really not his best performance. Second half, he was outstanding. And in every aspect. And I thought he really stepped it up in the second half and played really well. I just thought the first half, he just wasn't. But here's the thing. Trey Galloway usually plays pretty well at home. I mean, there's something about him and that arena. He always plays great. As for Tamar Bates, I love watching that kid play. I really do. I love his confidence. His shot, I tweeted it out, has absolutely perfect rotation on it. They showed a couple shots from behind him shooting that three. The way that ball spins back, it's perfect. And the way he's shooting it with confidence, I hope he can carry that over to the road because we need it. But just a great performance by him stepping up today, especially with Jalen out. He and Trey stepping up today was enormous. And let's be real, the standard set of Trace Jackson Davis and Jalen Hood-Trevino just going off and everybody else just kind of offering a couple points here and there, that's not sustainable for the whole season. You need these guys to step up around them. And to see the perimeter guys really step up today, go 9 of 15 from 3 when Miller Kopp doesn't hit one, is incredible. And so just an awesome game from both of those guys. Really deserve a lot of credit.
One of the things I think is that has been here the last 3 games is just outstanding effort. And I don't think the guys dogged it in the 3 losses, but there was something going on. But the effort has just been ratcheted up. And actually, one of those drives that Galloway gave up, he was covering for people who messed up a switch. And then he was in a long closeout and ran out. Probably didn't close out the right way, but ran out too long. It really wasn't his guy, if I remember right, in the first half. And there are some guys that are still struggling. We'll keep it positive today, but there were some missed switches. There were some overhelps that we had seen before. And it helps when Michigan State misses some shots too and doesn't take advantage of it. So sometimes you get some breaks like that. But I thought there were 3 or 4 threes that we really don't want to give up that didn't go in. We were fortunate. But the overall effort of running and trying to run shooters off the 3-point line instead of just watching them shoot, the rotations now, we were not rotating. And that part of that nail slot rim is everyone staying on their man and guarding a spot more than that spot more than rotating what you see in X outs or next man, the NBA flying and everyone rotates. And that's been part of a change. So, again, in a day where the defense wasn't under 1 point per possession, I thought they were aggressive enough. And then you got TJD who's healthy and just blocking everything. I think that's been a plus to Galloway's play, Bates' play. When you make a mistake, just make it hard. And those guys aren't worrying about mistakes. They're just making the next hustle play as much as possible. And that's why Indiana's winning.
The 3-point defense is night and day since Penn State.
So is the free throw defense.
Oh, free throw
the last 2 games has been fantastic.
Very locked in.
But that's the stats for the next segment, right?
Yeah, one of the things you said, Coach, where there was some of those missed rotations, I think what you saw after every single one of those was guys getting together, sometimes a little adamant about who was supposed to do what or whatever, but at least they were talking and And you could tell they cared. I mean, there was other times in those games when they played so poorly, it was like, well, missed this rotation. They're holding each other accountable. And the way that you could tell they were talking to each other was intense, but not bickering, but just trying to like talk through and figure it out, which I think even that is a huge step forward from what we saw during that stretch.
Yeah, look, you're going to miss a rotation. You're going to miss a drive. You know, you're going to be off position on drive. Guy's going to get by you. That happens. I mean, you know, teams score 70 points in a game. There are defensive mistakes in there that cause a lot of that. It's about learning from each of your mistakes and, you know, fixing your rotation the next time. And then the other guy's going to miss one and then he's going to fix it. And, you know, it's about just, as you said, Andy, it was that was a perfect statement, is that they got together. They talked every time there was a huddle. Somebody was emphatically telling somebody what to do, what they missed and what the other person saw. So that's fine if you learn from it and improve. You're right. There was no talking in those previous games. There was no togetherness. This is different. And you can't be afraid to make a mistake. And when you make a mistake, just don't do it again. Just improve.
I think it's worth mentioning, you know, Malik Hall doesn't play. He probably makes an impact. Tyson Walker was, you know, ill this week. He probably makes an impact. But, you know, with the way that Indiana defended, you know, Hogard and just how hard they were playing, I think Indiana still wins the game no matter what, you know, with those guys. And certainly we're not going to, you know, have a lot of sympathy for teams that are missing important players because you just got to keep playing. And Indiana, after really seeming to struggle to kind of find itself after X and Race both went out, really have found themselves for these last 120 minutes of basketball. And today was another great performance. All right, as we continue our breakdown of Indiana's 13-point victory over the Spartans, we'll point out today's meaningful moments you might have missed. And then we will go inside the numbers to highlight the most important statistical notes from the game. You're listening to the Assembly Call. Stick with us.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match with Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hey, it's Romeo Langford. What's the only thing better than hitting a game winner to beat Wisconsin? Celebrate it with friends afterwards. Join Jarrett, Andy, Ryan, and Coach on Assembly Call after every IU basketball game. Go Hoosiers.
Also a guy who had some big clutch moments and another impressive Michigan State victory from years past, Romeo Langford, playing well for the San Antonio Spurs, which is nice to see. You are listening to the Assembly Call IU postgame show. I'm Jared Morris. We got a full house. The coach, Brian Tonsoni, Andy Bottoms, Ryan Phillips here breaking down this Indiana victory over Michigan State. And it's the top of segment two, so you know what that means. Yep, it is today's meaningful moments that you might have missed, brought to you by our friends at Hoosier Ticket Project, where they help individuals and families experience IU athletic events in person for the first time through the generosity of alumni and fans. To learn more about how you can donate money or extra tickets to help create meaningful moments for other IU fans, visit HoosierTicketProject.org. That's HoosierTicketProject.org. And guys, you know, I want to go back to the first half. You know, again, you know, Indiana wins by 13, but, you know, early in that first half, you know, Michigan State did take control. You know, recall the, you know, Tyson Walker hits a couple of shots, puts Michigan State up 25-16. And again, I was never really worried, but I would certainly prefer to not be down 9 points at home. And what happened next was I thought Indiana just got a huge surge from its freshmen. in that stretch that kind of brought Indiana back. You know, Malik Renew scored. He's really been stepping it up better, playing more composed, getting to his spots, playing better defense, playing harder. I thought CJ Gunn, you know, continued to, you know, play his brand of, you know, intense, handsy defense, but he got a great deflection that led to a steal and led to a bucket for Jalen Hood-Schifino. I guess that was his only bucket of the game, that little runner. Then Malik Renew gets a tough rebound off of a Sissoko miss. He throws a great entry pass in to Trace Jackson Davis, who gets a layup. And it was a 10-0 run that put Indiana back ahead 26-25. And I thought you really saw those young guys, especially CJ and Malik, really help spur the run for Indiana just with energy and just with looking more composed. You know, CJ, you know, missed a three-pointer, but, you know, it was close. And he got fouled on it, made a couple of free throws. And so it was nice to see those guys, you know, step up their coach and, you know, and give Indiana a spark when the team really needed it.
Yeah, and you have to when you're down. And the key thing is Indiana's down a couple players, but you got to win enough games here so the committee sees you can play without them. And then when you get them back and start winning some games, that you get in and you get a pretty decent seed. It's valuable. You can't make excuses. You know, you got to go play the games or your season's going to end. And so it takes everyone on a squad to do that. And I thought CJ Gunn, limited minutes, did what he could do. He's a little handsy on defense, you know, and he's a little too tight, and he's got to back off some guys a little bit. But the one thing he brings is a little energy when he comes off. I thought Renew was fantastic off the bench. Still fouls too much, fouled out today, and just gets caught. His body gets caught out of position sometimes, trying too hard to compensate for a move. But I thought that was a key part. Like I said in the opening, we have three guys that had great stats, and then we had everyone else who had great games in their own non-stat way, and the young freshmen were part of it. And, you know, Geronimo had a good game. I thought Izzo attacked him early, and that was designed to get Hauser the ball. So there's a meaningful moment, too, is, you know, when you're going up in this league against good coaches, they're going to find things, too, and you know, in the end of the first segment, we talked about game slippage. Andy and Ryan were talking about you're going to have mess-ups on defense. You're going to have bad possessions on offense. But do you learn and adjust within the game? And, boy, I thought Indiana did a good job, especially when Hauser had those first 11 points, was outscoring us 11-8. But, boy, that was part of the offensive game plan of the Spartans, was to attack that four position. Race came in, they attacked him. That's just a sign of how good coaches operate, is that they take advantage of that. But I thought Renew came in and settled us down. So that's part of the success there.
Yeah, I thought, to your point, Coach, that was – Michigan State's plan, and I think IU adjusted to try to do the same. Hauser is not able to handle them defensively, and so IU was in a lot of cases more effective with Renew in the game because he could really put that pressure on him. They tried to have Geronimo post him up once. It's just not his game. But I thought Renew gave them some trouble in those moments. You know, the baskets he had all seemed big. The first one was to, you know, the initial cutting the lead of 9-7, where it seemed like IU hadn't scored in forever, probably because they had not. And then, you know, Michigan State got I think Walker gets a layup, but Renew goes right to push it back to 9. He goes down, scores again in the post to get it back to 7. And then in the second half, Bates had just hit a 3 to give IU the lead. Michigan State, I think, missed the front end of a 1-1. Renew goes down, gets fouled, steps up, knocks down 2 free throws, pushes the lead to 3. It never got closer than that.
He had a great pass into the post in the first half, too, I think.
He had a few. I was trying to look through. I was trying to look through. Yeah, I think it ended up being like a lob. I think he was just trying to throw it over
in the stretch I mentioned, Coach.
Trace caught it out of the air and laid it in. So I thought he, and that's been a good progression for him. Not just the, you know, the team has played better over these last few games, but he seems to have found himself a little bit. We're in some spurts. He can give IU some good minutes. So would totally agree with that. Yeah, CJ Gunn seemed hell bent on fouling that guy the first time he came in, but at least stepped up. You know, but good for him. I mean, he steps up, gets fouled on the three, rims out the first one. Just stepped up, made the next two. You know, I thought, you know, important stretch from him to buy IU a few minutes with him in the game, and things didn't really get, didn't fall further behind and made some positive contribution.
And Renew did the nail slot rim defense perfectly. I think I have it written down here. They only were executing that on the ball screens on the side. They weren't really over helping on anything else. But it was at 9:30. He was guarding Hauser, and there was a side ball screen towards him, and Hauser was in the slot where the people have just been nailing threes on us, and he was a little bit off the nail, and he kind of lunged to scare the ball handler, and then he was already on the way back out to Hauser. And again, for a guy who's been struggling to concentrate and make those little adjustments, not just to put two eyes on the ball and stop the ball and kick and give up a three, and the game was, you know, still in doubt at that point too. A three is a momentum. That's been part of what we've talked about. You got to guard the threes a little bit more because they're such momentum builders, and take away momentum when they go in. That right there from Renew was a big play as well.
I thought Renew was so much better today defensively. Yeah. And I know he fouled out, but he was moving his feet. And Joey Hauser kind of did some old man savvy stuff to him to draw a few fouls. But, you know, I think that's a – I don't know. It's almost a little misleading. I thought it was the best defense he's played. He got in some tough situations, recovered, moved his feet. Like, he has really gotten better and just more composed on both ends. And I think you'll and start to see that and what, his and foul ones, committed rate go down.
Yeah, so. One of the ones he's in perfect position. He just kind of walked up under the guy. If he just stands still, he doesn't get the foul call. But he just, like, took a little bit of step and bumped him with his hips and walked into him a little bit.
He'll get better at that.
But to your point, you know, he stayed down. He didn't get fooled on a bunch of stuff. I thought his defense was better than what the foul numbers would suggest at the very least.
Yep. All right, Andy, let me kick this over to you. You know, and this is kind of a point that you mentioned earlier. Just, you know, against a team like Michigan State, can you out-tough them? Can you get the loose balls, you know, when you need to? And really, you know, the last kind of breath of air Michigan State had in this game was when it was 62-55. Trace misses a free throw. And Jordan Geronimo, you know, who had a tough game, but, you know, he deflects the rebound. You'll recall, you know, Miller Kopp saves it in the corner, just throws it up. We get it. Jordan Geronimo ends up missing, Tamar missed a shot. Jordan ended up getting the rebound. He missed it. Trace gets the follow. So it was three offensive rebounds, a loose ball. That put Indiana up 9. The next possession, Scoop hit the shot, the three after the deflected pass. Indiana's up 12, ball game. And that it was that kind of game for Indiana. When there was a loose ball there to, you know, to be had, Indiana got it at critical junctures and ended up turning it into points. And that's how you beat a team like Michigan State.
Yeah, I mean, that play I mentioned earlier, you talked about the one where Kopp dives on the floor, misses it initially, gets it back, then Renew dives on the floor. Kopp is alert enough to hop up so that Renew can actually pass him the ball, and ends up getting the foul. And yeah, just thought those kinds of plays where IU was routinely losing, though. I mean, you think of the Iowa game where some of those plays were. Those are not plays this team is coming up with. And I think, you know, Ryan has one about Kopp that he wants to mention. I think that he was a center part of both of those plays that you mentioned. And realistically, it definitely is one where his coach said, you know, the stats don't tell the full story with him. I think his only made field goal might have been the baseline dunk. So if you told me I would be talking to my children about the Miller Kopp hammering a dunk along the baseline today, I would have told you were a little crazy. But here we are.
Shades of Calvert Chaney with Miller Kopp driving the lane.
Absolutely.
For a baseline dunk.
Absolutely.
Yeah, look, at 16-16 of the first half, it was a 8-7 or 7-8, you know, or 8-7 Michigan State lead. And Miller Kopp gives Sissoko a bit of a shot to the ribs and gets a flagrant foul. And that did give Michigan State a little bit of momentum. But I thought it also sent a message that was sort of like, we're not going to be bullied in this game. Like, I'm going to take a shot at you. And they've talked about that, you know, in the Penn State game, somebody was saying, just foul one of these guys to get them off their rhythm. You know, I mean, sometimes you need to sort of stand your ground. And Miller Kopp did. And it was just sort of a sign of, yeah, we're not going to get pushed around in this game in our building. It's not going to happen. And Sissoko is a guy who does bully people. And he ended up with 4 points in 22 minutes. Kopp took a shot at him and basically stood there when Sissoko turned around. Kopp stood there and just like, yeah, what? Like, what are you gonna do about it? And I just thought that sent a message. And it was a senior move. It was a veteran move to send that message. And Trace Jackson Davis can't do that because his fouls are very precious. Miller Kopp knows. If someone's going to step up and do this, it's going to be me. And I thought it was a huge moment. I thought at the time, they went into a bit of a scoring drought after that. Michigan State kind of took a lead there. But I just thought it was important for the game that you're going to stand your ground at home and it's not going to happen.
Yep. No, Excellent point. I had absolutely no issue with it. I loved it too. Coach, real quick, and then Andy.
I just was going to say Hood Schifino not playing and then coming in and just ending the game with two nice passes. He was connected while on the bench, you know, and he was ready to come in. There was no pouting, no sulking. He was up cheering on the bench. He had good bench energy. Those are the signs of programs who are now back into a better place. When that's his first time really having to sit out a while, he was probably banged up a little bit. I know he took a hard fall at Illinois.
Like he banged knees.
Took another hard fall today, so maybe that played a role in it too. But when Galloway and Bates are going, it's the same thing with C.J. Gunn. You'd love to see him get a little more run, but not the way those two were playing and Cops diving all over the place. As long as there's no cumulative effect of minutes played, but Indiana's in a position now. It was you got to win two or three. You know, rest them coming up a little bit. But I thought that rotation was perfectly fine. But boy, was I. I'm just a big fan of Hood Schifino. He gets a little lackadaisical at times, but, boy, he came in, pinpoint, boom, boom, two lobs, game over, ready to contribute when he had been out for a while.
God, those were so nice, too.
That was awesome.
Just the passes were so – like, the first one, Trace wasn't even looking, and he just looked up, and the ball was right where it should be. I mean, both passes were so perfect.
Andy?
Yeah, I got two real quick ones, and I'm gonna drop. One, speaking of perfect passes, the outlet from Tamar Bates dropped into the bucket for TJD, setting up the posterization of Sam Hauser.
Perfect pass.
And the impending stare down from TJD after that, which I am actually surprised that this crew did not draw a technical. Now, he didn't say anything, but
they gave him a talking to.
Apparently, he was told he was flirting with a technical. Give me a break.
Well, when he talked to him, talk to him after that play. Don't talk to him when he's like walking around looking at the crowd, which is when Larry Serrato talked to him in his medium jersey, that your referee jersey that he had on. And then the last one, you want to talk about guys locked in on the bench when Michigan State, when Hauser threw the ball over Hogard's head when Galloway was up pressuring him and it just went into the IU bench. The reaction from Xavier Johnson was just fantastic of him standing up with his boot on, just going crazy, pumping his fist, whatever. I mean, you just talk about he tweeted something out after the game as well. Like, I think all of that points back to like the connectedness that we thought this team had at the beginning that seemed to go away. Seems to have returned. And to your point, I don't think anybody can say that nothing was going on in the, I don't know what it was, but there was definitely something going on in that period of time. But these guys have really rebounded and are playing together. And just awesome to see how excited he gets on some of these. Not so excited to get technical today, but just how excited that he was just for that play. And just another really kind of small moment from Trace, him really putting pressure up there. He knocked one out of bounds. On another attempted entry, they threw one away. I think it just kind of wore on Hogard eventually over the course of time. But, yeah, definitely some enjoyable celebratory moments for the Hoosiers in this one that were well-deserved on their part for sure. So
there's some swagger back.
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Andy, any final thoughts here before you bounce off?
No, just a great game. Was glad that the game I was supposed to coach got snowed out. But now I need to go clean off my driveway where I can watch a little bit of the Bengals game and go from there. So I'll let you guys take it home since I hopped on uninvited, but certainly enjoyed a win and was worth talking about a little bit for sure. So enjoy the rest of the show, and I will talk to you guys this week.
Cool.
Actually, I'll talk to everyone tomorrow night after the women's game.
Oh, that's right. You're doing the show with Coach Marlowe.
Going to be on with Coach Marlowe. So nice. I think the game now I saw today is 8:15 instead of 8, which actually helps me out a little bit to be able to see the beginning of it. So I will talk to everybody then.
Very nice. All right. Thank you, Andy. The last moment I want to mention, guys, real quick before we get to the numbers is just another, you know, big Trey Galloway shot. Right? That, you know, all three of his threes were really big when Indiana needed it. You know, Michigan State was up 44-42 after just, you know, Jalen seems to have like one or two passes every game where he's just so super casual with it and it just gets taken the other way. And so he had one of those. It's 44-42. And really, you know, it just kind of felt like Michigan State had seized the momentum a little bit. We weren't running a lot of good offense at the beginning of the second half, and this was, you know, another one where, you know, Kopp passed up a good look to get Trey a great one. He drained it 45-44, and I just thought it settled us down a little bit when Trey made that shot, and I thought all three of his threes really did that. And then obviously Indiana would propel from there to outscore the Spartans by 12 points for the rest of the game. But gents, let's talk inside the numbers today. And, you know, look, I think, you know, two numbers that really jump out is, you know, this was a game where, you know, whereas against Illinois, everything Indiana wanted to do inside was working. You know, Jordan Geronimo and Trace Jackson Davis are combined 12 for 12 at halftime. You're getting everything you want. That wasn't happening today. And so Indiana has to find a different way to do it. You don't have Jalen hitting a bunch of mid-range shots. Indiana, 9 of 15 from downtown, 60%. The Hoosiers are now top 20 in the country in three-point efficiency, which is crazy. But also, Indiana, 21 of 24 from the free throw line today. Jeez. Trace Jackson Davis, 11 for 13. He's now up over 70% for the season. Just locked in shooting. Look, it's basketball. Sometimes you just got to go make shots. And today, when Indiana, we've been, you know, as we've been mentioning, is this team going to be ready for the game when they need to step up and make shots when the inside isn't working? That was today, and guys stepped up and made shots. And boy, does it make it easier to win in basketball when you make jump shots. So that to me really stood out. Ryan, what's your number?
Yeah, I just want to point out that, you know, they were up five at the half, and they shot 41.9% and hit 4 of 10 threes, which you're fine with, but 41.9% from the field. And the thing is, when you've got a lead, all you have to do is not give up the lead in the second half. You just have to play even, essentially. They played better. They had 54.2% from the field in the second half and were 5 of 5 from three and 14 of 16 at the line. You're winning that game. Like, you know, I mean, they're taking efficient shots, they're making their open threes, and they're finishing it off when they go to the free throw line. Trace Jackson Davis and Trey Galloway, huge at the free throw line in the second half. 8 of 10 for TJD and 4 of 4 for Trey Galloway. You're right. The free throw shooting was a big difference in this game. 21 of 24, Michigan State, 19 of 28. By the way, it's a lot of free throws. Neither team should have been shooting as much as they were, but whatever. That's, you know, but Michigan State missed 9, and Indiana, a team that struggled shooting, missed 3, and that's your game right there. I mean, it really is. The ability to make those free throws also staunches momentum. You know, if Michigan State makes a basket, you come down, you get fouled, you got to go to the line to make your point to score your points, and you make them. It's a shoulder shrug for them because they didn't get the stop they wanted. So I really felt like Indiana just executed everything it needed to execute in the second half really well.
And, you know, the other thing, Coach, is Indiana, you know, with a slight advantage against Michigan State on the boards. And this isn't a vintage Michigan State rebounding right. team. But, you know, I think we've seen a lot of growth in Indiana from a rebounding perspective. That was a big issue there for a while. And they've cleaned some of that up. A lot of that is Trace just being incredible.
Owning it.
Yeah. You know, but I mean, look, I mean, he took it upon himself to do that. But I just think we're seeing a lot less of the missed blockouts, guys just watching rebounds. They're attacking them, getting rebounds outside of, you know, their area. And that's big, you know, because against Michigan State, you don't want them getting rebounds and running. And Indiana's transition defense for most of the day was pretty good. They lost shooters a couple of times, but a really solid effort on the glass and then getting back in transition when Michigan State did get the board.
There weren't too many rebounds that didn't go to Trace Jackson Davis, but here's a couple dudes that got more than one, and that's abnormal. Tamar Bates had 3, which is big. We always talk about guard rebounding, but it's been Hood, Schifino, and Galloway, and X when he was in there. And Miller Kopp got 2, and that's just not Miller Kopp's game, you know, to rebound. But, you know, there's 5 of the 31, and I think Trace Jackson Davis had, what, 47 of the 31? And so, you know, the math adds up there. But I thought the other number that was interesting, Indiana only had 9 turnovers, and quick count, I think only 3 of them came from perimeter players. You know, 1 for Malik, 1 for Geronimo, and 4 for TJD. Against a team that has known to play some defense and the guards are pretty good, that gives a lot of opportunities to score the basketball, and you take care of the basketball. And you don't mind TJD having 4 because the ball's in his hands 85% of the time, and he's getting a lot of action thrown his way. But only 6 assists by Michigan State. And I don't know if they're a high assist team or not.
They are.
Naturally. But
they're top 40 in the country in assist rate this year.
Okay, so that number right there is disrupting offense, which Indiana was not doing in that 3 game. And even going back to Kansas and even Xavier, they gave up some points. Like, Indiana was disruptive last year. They were not disruptive this year. No. Until the last 3 games. Now they're being disruptive. They're getting closer to players. They're getting into their uniforms. They're making life miserable. And there's no place to pass, and it forces dribble drive or individual moves. And like you said, they limited transition points with Michigan State loving to run. They had that 1-3 where they moved the ball up and kicked out and found a three in transition, but those were minimal. But six assists for their team that's in the top 40, that to me speaks to the adjustments that have been made defensively by both the players and the staff.
Yeah, that assist number, that just shows you're making them play one-on-one. And one-on-one against the team defense where guys are helping too, you know, and that means that those kickouts on the drives where guys are helping, they're not hitting those threes, you know, and that's a difference, because when that defense is playing the way it's supposed to play, you are supposed to help. You are supposed to give a show, give a hedge, whatever. But they were rotating so well that they were not getting those open looks after it. You're not getting pick and roll, you know, inside plays. Guys are having to catch it on the block and work instead of rolling for a basket. And that wears you down offensively when you're not getting those easy looks. It really wears you down offensively. Then you got to go play defense against a team that's scoring 80 points a game. It's not great to play, you know, on the road too. And it just wears you down fast. The other thing, Michigan State, always known for offensive rebounding numbers. Eight offensive rebounds for Michigan State, 9 for Indiana.
I mean, Ryan, I just saw in our chat that you had mentioned that. I did not. I'm going to give credit where credit's due here. I'm not about stealing another man's numbers. That's just poor for, you know, the guy that I look up to. And when I got on the show, I want to be more like Ryan every day. I just look in our private community and you said, I want to talk about MSU's assist. And then I throw that out there. That is inexcusable.
Great,
I apologize. That's not good team play.
Great Italian minds think alike, Coach.
Absolutely. But my bad. I stole your number.
Jared is so pissed right now. Look at his face.
I know.
I have nothing to say to that nonsense. By the way, guys, AJ Hogard is 5th in the country in assist rate. Last year, he was 1st in the country in assist rate. It's what Michigan State does. Going back to Cassius Winston and long before him, it's a team that gets a lot of assists. And this is only the second game in the last month that he's had fewer than 6 assists in a game. So, I mean, just a really, really tremendous job. The last number I will mention, Michigan State, 9 bench points, Indiana, 25, 26, whatever it was. You know, this is not a Michigan State team that is deep, and so obviously not having Malik Hall hurt them. But, you know, Indiana's bench players stepped up when they needed to, and credit to those guys for doing so. All right, coming up here on the Assembly Call, we are going to hand out our Game Balls and Hoosier Hustle Award. I feel like there's a lot of options for each one. Discuss a lingering question or two, and then we will look ahead to Indiana's upcoming opponent. That's next here on the Assembly Call. Stick with us.
Let's face it, people have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number Smart Beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number Smart Beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
The NBA Finals are heating up. Looking for hot takes on all the postseason action? The Old Man and the Three, presented by BMW, is the podcast to listen to for the ultimate finals coverage. Host and former NBA sharpshooter J.J. Redick not only has a plugged-in perspective on the action from his time in the league, but he's also announcing the games in real time for ESPN. J.J. has the ultimate insider point of view, and he's taking you along for the ride as he breaks down the best defensive schemes, dunks, and drives from each game. And speaking of incredible drives, there's no better place to tune into your new favorite podcast, The Old Man and the Three, than in a standard-setting BMW. Luxury meets power to create a wholly new driving experience. Push the limits this NBA season with the brand that set the ultimate standard, BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
This is Deron Davis. And what's the only thing better than dominating a Duke big man in the post? It's celebrated with friends afterwards. Join Gerard, Andy, Ryan, and Coach on the Assembly Hall call after every IU basketball game. Go Hoosiers.
Another guy who contributed to a big Michigan State victory, Deron Davis. Thank you, Deron. You are listening to the Assembly Call IU postgame show. You can catch us live immediately following every IU basketball game and every Thursday night at our website, assemblycall.com. And make sure that you sign up for our free IU Hoops email newsletter. You can join for free today at join.assemblycall.com. That's join.assemblycall.com. I'm Jared Morris. Here with the coach, Brian Tonsoni and Ryan Phillips. Andy had to bounce off, but we are breaking down Indiana's 13-point victory over Michigan State. And guys, it is time for our game ball, which is presented by our friends at Bloom Environmental, where Ali and James and the crew help folks in southern and south central Indiana maintain healthy air quality in their home or business. You can learn more at bloomenviro.com, and when you mention this ad, you get 23% off all of their testing services. That is 23 in honor of TJD and... You know, look, this, I mean, we should just name this the Trace Jackson Davis Game Ball Award, because as great as Trey was, as great as Tamar was, and there were great performances up and down the roster. I mean, Trace Jackson Davis is just on a heater right now. I mean, he was already playing well, even while hurt. Now that he's getting healthier, you're just seeing him game in, game out in different ways. I mean, the production is just unbelievable. So, you know, I feel like we probably haven't talked about him enough. So, if you guys want to go elsewhere with your game balls, please do. But Ryan, I'll start with you. I think it's pretty clear that Trace is the game ball, and then the Hoosier Hustle Award, we've got maybe some debates to have.
Yeah, no, it's Trace Jackson Davis. I'm sorry, guys. The other guys played well, but 31 points, 15 rebounds, 4 assists, and 5 blocks. It ain't going anywhere else. Yeah, sorry. 39 minutes due out of Trace. You'd obviously like to see him get more of a breather at some point, especially in a 13-point win. But I think you needed him on the floor for pretty much the entire game. Race Thompson getting healthy will probably lead to some more breaks for him, where they can go with Race and Malik in the game at the same time. Maybe have Malik slide down to the five and let Race sort of play the way Malik was playing today.
I think Trace has gotten a little better. Tell me if you agree. Has gotten a little bit better at finding ways to get rest in the game. And I don't think
I would
he's
agree
loafing,
with you.
But I think he's finding ways to be smart with his energy.
Yeah, and I think that's absolutely true. I think defensively, there's no wasted movement. There's no fake hustle.
He's like the old guy playing racquetball that knows how he can get you running around,
and
but
on
he
offense,
can just stand there, you know?
And on offense, too, sometimes he'll just post up and stay there and kind of wait for the ball to come around instead of posting up when the ball's not in a position for him to throw, to get the pass.
Yeah.
So it's just smarter. And then the other thing about Tracy, he was 10 to 20 from the field. He missed some shots in the first half, pretty in close. But he was 11 to 13 from the free throw line and made it up there. And I thought that, he really closed out the game at the free throw line. I felt like, I think it was about 5 minutes left. He had a couple, chances in there from the 10 to 5 minute mark and really closed the door by making all those free throws.
And in previous seasons, there have been games where Trace has missed some of those shots that he normally makes and it affects him. And
yes.
It did not affect him at all today at all. You still got everything else that you want to get from him.
Yep.
I was worried a little bit early because I thought it might have been creeping in, because I didn't think he played well defensively position-wise. Then he started blocking shots, and after about the 9-10 minute mark of the first half, he was fantastic. But I thought early Trace was not his best, and I was worried that we were going to see some of that, Jared. But to his credit, and as Ryan said, within the game, you got to handle adversity, you got to handle game slippage. Well, TJD didn't let that continue into the second 10 minutes and the third 10 minutes. It was just a brief situation at the start of the game. But so he gets my game ball. But here's the thing. You went one-on-one in Illinois, and he played incredible. And now you ran a couple of doubles, and you mixed up. How are you going to guard him if you're opposing Big Ten teams? And now you got guys draining threes that you don't think can hit threes, and Indiana's at the top. It now becomes a nightmare in preparation for the coach. But I thought Trace was absolutely fantastic from about the 11 minute mark. He was all right before that too, but really outstanding for the last 30 some minutes. But here's the thing: he's going to have to get some rest within the games. I mean, there's a lot of basketball to be played, and with Renew getting his mojo back, and we're getting Race back, and Geronimo's really done a nice job for the most part filling in for Race. That you can have a little more confidence and get him back down to the 32, 33 minutes because. You're going to need him come Big Ten tourney and NCAA tournament time to be at his best. And boy, 39 minutes, 40 minutes in a game, coming off a major back. He's healthy. We want to make sure that. So we're going to have to find time to steal those minute and a half at a TV timeout, let him sit, then get him back in, do that once or twice in the first half, maybe once in the second or whatever you can. But you're going to have to find 5-6 minutes of rest a game. It's hard when he's so dominant. But I think that's just prudent management because you want to be the best in March.
And it's not like you can relax after winning these three games, but you've pulled the season back on the road. You don't have to be desperate now, you know?
Right.
And so you can kind of look at it in a little bit of a different context. And Trace has done absolutely everything that you would want your leader to do when your team falls to 1-4 and you need to step back up. Leadership, production, all of it. I mean, he's taken it to another level. He really has.
Yeah,
it's just been terrific to watch.
And it's worth noting he's closing quickly in on that 2,000 point barrier and that 1,000 rebound barrier, which he'd be the first player in Indiana history to do that. Next on the list is Alan Henderson in the scoring list, then Yogi, and then his head coach would be at number 5. So just a truly remarkable career. And he's, you know, I think that my favorite thing about this is that he's playing his best in his last season. You know, I mean, this is a lot of guys, you could have a burst and then, you know, you get better talent. We thought early in the year, maybe, you know, with better talent around him, his averages might go down a little. He might play better, but his averages might go down. No, he's still dominating and leading the team from the front. And yeah, man, it's something to see, man. And I will say for everybody, appreciate this. Because guys like this don't come around very often. And we'll be talking about the way he played for years after this.
Look, man, you know, Indiana won the Big Ten title in 2016 in Yogi's senior season. That season started out awful.
Terrible.
They were terrible in Maui. They got crushed against Duke. I mean, that was just a really bad start. They turned it around, you know, a little bit earlier than this team is, but it was kind of similar. You know, and Yogi just absolutely stepped up and started playing better. And we're seeing that, you know, from Trace. It's obviously a different role, but he's just been fantastic.
And I'll say this, even in the games Indiana didn't play well in that for about, you know, we talk about the 3-game losing streak, but there was about a month where they didn't play well. You know, I mean, they were beaten up on the lower tier teams, but they weren't really playing well. For about that month, Trace was still performing.
Yes.
He was still getting his numbers up there and maybe
through injury.
Yeah, through that back injury, he was still putting up numbers and doing his job. There were a couple, you know, Kansas game was, you know, nobody was on for that game. But other than that, you know, he has really been
on. He had 9
on.
Blocks that game.
He did, but, you know, it felt like there was just there wasn't a lot of energy in that game for anybody. And again, he was hurt too. But he has delivered this year at every step of the way. It's been the other guys needing to follow his lead.
Yep. All right, now up, the Hoosier Hustle Award.
Hi, this is Anthony Leal, reminding you to check out our friends at Evansville Security Services. Based in the hometown of IU legend Calvert Cheney, Evansville Security Services has been providing off-duty police officers to businesses and individuals since 2001. In other words, they're in the business of prevention and peace of mind. And remember, prevention cannot be measured. To learn more about how Evansville Security Services can help you preserve your peace of mind by preventing bad outcomes, visit EvansvilleSecurityServices.com. That's EvansvilleSecurityServices.com.
All right. Thank you, Anthony. Well, guys, another game where the Hoosier Hustle Award is fun. This kind of felt like a chore there for a few games. But, boy, there's a lot of options here. And I will lead this one off. I'm giving it to Tamar. I thought this was as hard as he has played in Indiana uniform. And I know the shooting is the highlight, and that's what Tamar is here to do, is to score points and provide an offensive punch. You know, but I thought the game rewarded him for playing his butt off. And I thought we saw some of the best defense from him that we've seen this season. You know, and for him, you know, funny, I texted him yesterday and I was like, man, I've had a hunch all week, you know, all day that you're going to have a good game. And he texted back and said, you know, I've had the same hunch. And for a guy that has had two straight scoreless games and a guy who's known as a scorer, you know, to not sulk or get frustrated and come out and just play harder, I was so happy to see him be rewarded, you know, with the production and the shots going in. It was just a terrific performance from him, you know. And like I said, it was more than shooting. And I think now, you know, Tamar's going to learn a very important lesson that all dads learn at some point, which is he went out and had an incredible game, 17 points, one of the best games of his career. I don't know if you guys saw this, but his daughter Leilani won the baby race at halftime. So he just had one of the best games of his career, and all people are going to want to talk to him about
overshadowed
what his daughter did. So welcome typical to being a dad, Scoop.
Typical.
But he's look, a lot of good options. He's my Hustle Award winner because I just thought he played so hard and played some of the best defense that we've seen from him in his career. Ryan?
Who's going? I'll say, if this were a game ball level B or like, you know, an A and B for the game ball, I would give it to Tamar. I thought he was great. I'm giving the Hustle Award to Miller Kopp because I think he made some incredible plays that helped keep momentum in Indiana's favor. I thought he played for his teammates as well. I thought he kept passing the ball. You know, when he didn't have a clean look, he passed it up to get to another shot. He had a couple hockey assists. He had a couple direct assists. I think he just constantly shows effort and leads as a senior, whether he's scoring or not. And the best thing you can say about any basketball player, and coach, I know you'll agree with this, is can they affect the game and have a good game when they don't put up points? And if you can do that, you're a great basketball player because it's not all about scoring. It's about other things. Now, Miller has defensive limitations. We've talked about just physically. I thought he played his ass off today, and I thought he was on the floor. He was saving loose balls, and he had that play at the beginning of the game where he took a shot at Sissoko, and I think that it just showed it. We're not going to be bullied today, buddy. I don't care what you do. You're not going to bully us. We may lose this game, but we're not going to be shoved around. And I love the way he carries himself. No matter what's going on with his three-point shot or with his offense or anything, I love the way the kid carries himself, and he got my Hustle Award today.
No argument there. Like I said, a lot of people could get it today. Coach?
Yeah, I'm just going to mention a couple before I think Renew could get it for coming in and doing what he did. I think I'm not going to go with Trey Galloway, but we might be missing the boat with Trey Galloway with his hustle on defense, how he set the tone early, getting into the face of the guards and then handling the basketball. That's more of a basketball thing, I guess, maybe than a hustle, you could argue. But and because I stole his number, I'm not going with Miller Kopp because I stole his, you know, inside the numbers thing. But just because the pure genius of our co-host enlightens me on the right way to believe, Miller Kopp, for the same reasons, diving. Miller Kopp, it takes a lot of hustle to get up above the rim and throw that down when you're used to just standing in the corner and getting ready to shoot the three. But I agree with Ryan. I think he did a lot of things to disrupt the flow of Michigan State's defense. I thought he cut really, really hard, something we're complaining about the lack of movement. They are now putting him on the move a little bit more, and he moved to opening spots even on the post feed. But
open
they're running
TJD
a lot. Staggers, and he set really good cross screens in the one play where they cross screen and bring Miller off. Those are things that coaches absolutely will show in film that didn't show up when you go to the box score. It's easy to look, you know, and we love the 17-17 and 31 or whatever, but Miller Kopp, if there's a mental attitude award too, you could add that too for accepting his role and being a winner. And I think he does a lot in the locker room as well. So I'm going Miller Kopp.
One thing on this, Jared, we talk about the Hustle Award every game, and there have been a lot of games where we've been like, yeah, it's hard to pick one here. This is a really tough one. The reason why is, and I'll give Mike Woodson a lot of credit for this, his teams play hard. I mean, there have been one or two games where you're like, wow, it really doesn't seem like they have effort. I don't know if it's fatigue or what, and it just pervades the team. And that can be contagious. You know, if some guys are not feeling it, it can infect the whole team. But his teams play hard. That has never been Indiana's problem. The problem is just directing that focus and effort and energy in the right place. And so I think we need to give credit for that. This team hustles. It does play hard. And all the guys who were on the floor tonight played hard against Illinois. They played hard against even in losses. They play hard. it's just about directing that energy. So I have to give him credit for that. Him and the rest of the coaching staff for getting these guys to buy in and play hard. They do it pretty much every game. I'd say 99% of games, they are playing hard. And that has been the case since he stepped on campus.
Yeah. And I think when you've seen that lapse, I think it's less about, oh, well, these guys are just loafing. We've talked about this. It's more about, boy, this kind of looks like a team that doesn't seem quite locked in on what they're being asked to do. You know, and I don't think it's a coincidence that as we've seen some adjustments and seen guys being put more in a position to kind of maximize their strengths, you see just the spirit come back from this team, you know, and I think all that stuff really has an impact on it. All right. So let's look ahead now. Indiana goes to Minnesota on Wednesday. We'll, of course, then be back for Assembly Call Radio on Thursday and then Saturday night against Ohio State, who's been struggling but kind of got their season maybe, you know, stabilized a little bit with the big win over Iowa yesterday. But these are two very, very winnable games for Indiana, you know. And so I guess, you know, really the first lingering question, Coach, is, and, you know, we've kind of had some form of this after every game, as we mentioned earlier, but, you know, will Indiana have the kind of focus it needs on the road against a lesser opponent? You know, because the thing is, you come back from Penn State, okay, you're playing with Wisconsin, a program that's had our number. You're going to respect that opponent. Now you're going on the road to Illinois. You're going to respect that opponent because they've been good for several years. Michigan State is Michigan State. Well, Minnesota is now a team that, you know, has struggled for a couple years and obviously is the last place team in the Big Ten. You can't have any slippage and you can't have any thinking, hey, we can go out here and kind of relax a little bit and still win. It's still a road game in the Big Ten. You're still going to have to bring it. And so I think that's one lingering question is just as we look to be able to trust this team, you know, this will be another opportunity to them to show, yes, you can. You know, maybe look, they're probably going to go and you can probably beat Minnesota with a B-plus effort. But you're probably going to be in a dogfight and lose the game if it's, you know, a B minus or a C, you know. And so can you go and do what you have to do on the road and get a win? It's another opportunity for this team to show that they can do that.
Winning on the road is difficult in the Big Ten, regardless of who you're playing. And Minnesota's playing a little bit better basketball right now. They took Michigan down to the wire at Michigan today. They beat Ohio State at Ohio State. I know that was middle of their downturn a little bit, but you can't rest on your laurels. It's got to be a champions have short memories, right? Enjoy it, watch film, recover, whatever it is to, in the next day, get your one workout, hard workout in, get your scout in, and go play, because you're 4-4 and sixth in the Big Ten. You haven't accomplished anything. I mean, this is nice and it's fun and kudos to everyone, but you're 4-4 and should be 6-2, and it is what it is, and you've made a great recovery and everyone's happy. But a setback at Minnesota puts you really behind the eight ball when you got a couple of games against Purdue, you got a wounded Ohio State who wants to get back, and everyone is fighting right now to be one of those 8 or 9 teams to get in the NCAA tournament. And they're also fighting not to have, you know, everything be 8, 9, 10, 11 seeds. And you got to put a series of wins together. And Indiana now has a chance to get that game, come home in the friendly confines of Assembly Hall and get another one against Ohio State. Now you're 6-4 and you're moving up. And you could feel better, but there's a lot of basketball to be played, and this is a month-long bad basketball team now has played a week or so of good basketball. We need to balance that bad month out with a really good month, and you only do that by winning against teams you're supposed to.
Yep. So here's my other lingering question, Ryan, and it's about Jalen Hood-Schifino. Health, something else, you know, the Illinois game, he was really good in the first half. And after he fell and hurt that wrist, he didn't do much scoring, you know, there toward the end of that game. Today, he comes out, struggles the entire game. We saw him kind of knock knees. You know, he goes out in the second half. I'm not saying it's anything to be concerned or alarmed by, but it's my lingering question coming out of this game, because Indiana was able to overcome him being subpar today. You know, and that's great that they, you know, have that. But in most games, you're going to need Jalen to be, you know, a 1B or a 2, you know, to Trace on this team, because he's that talented. And so that's the only lingering question is just, is he okay physically? And is he able to bounce back from this? I fully think that he will. There's nothing really showing that there's anything to be concerned about physically, but it's just given the last, what happened in the second half against Illinois and tonight, it's the one thing that I'm, you know, just kind of paying attention to.
He looks banged up. I mean, yeah. He looks banged up, and you know, that might be his freshman wall, is getting over, you know, being a little banged up. And Luckily, you had other guys step up. But on the road, you know, the bench doesn't play. You always mentioned it. Bench, and I still consider Trey and Tamar are bench guys, even though they've started some. They're bench guys. And your bench guys don't play as well on the road. Yeah, I mean, and they don't play as well on the road. They tend not to. I mean, maybe this is a change for them, and we're going to start seeing a different thing from them on the road. But you need Jalen. I mean, you're going to need him, and especially if you need to break a press. I said late in the game, even though Jalen hadn't played in 7-8 minutes or something like that, and I said you need him in the game because you need your best ball handlers on the floor. They put him back in. It was a good move by Mike Woodson, and he was able to help break the press. And Trey Galloway can do it. But he needs help. You know, he likes one thing about Trey. He loves dribbling into a trap. It's something he's got to get better at. He loves getting right across half court on the wing and getting trapped there where I'm just screaming at my television, go to the middle of the floor. But I do think they're going to need him, and especially on the road. And the barn is always a tough place to play, regardless of how good or bad Minnesota is. So, they're going to need him, and he's got to get better.
I guess just the other kind of general lingering question is, what will be the next momentum change or emotional swing in the season? Do you guys feel like this college basketball season has been just kind of weirder and more unpredictable than most? I mean, Kansas, yeah. Gets crushed by TCU at home.
UConn looked amazing and then lost.
Yeah. It's like every 3 weeks, it's like every team kind of turns and they look great and they're not, this is not just an Indiana thing. I feel like this is happening all across college basketball. Yeah. Maybe it's because there's more roster turnover. And so, there's just less continuity on teams and it leads to a little more inconsistency. But, it's only June 22nd. And it feels like we've had enough emotional ups and downs this year for a full season. And there probably will be more to come. I think what this 3-game stretch has done is shown, what this team is capable of. They can, turn things back around. And so if and when a bad performance comes, and Indiana probably will have another bad game or two here, as we go, are they able to a little bit more quickly pull the thing back on the road and just rebound with another good performance? Because in this college basketball season, it really seems like, the teams that can just kind of handle the emotional swings, are the ones who are going to be best equipped, here down the stretch. I know, Coach, you study this stuff big time for the bracketology. Does it feel that way to you, that it's just been kind of crazier this year than normal?
Yeah, you have your top tier of 12 teams, I think, that are settling in. And even there, you had Kansas lose a couple of games. But then anything that's from the 4 to 11 seed, you're looking at Indiana that's probably up to a 7 that was just on the 10 or 11 line and 3 good games. And it's not because they won 3 games they get to jump up. It's just because other teams that were at the 7 line have lost 3 games and have moved down. It's always a comparison. But there's a lot of teams in the 3-game winning streak, 3-game losing streak, especially in the Big Ten, that it just takes one win, and when you play people is really, really important, I think, in the schedule right now across college basketball. But you see, Gonzaga is not Gonzaga. They're playing, losing at home for the first time in, 70 games is interesting. It's a real interesting thing. And I think you're onto something there, that you're able to better manage your roster with some transfer portals than you would in the past, relying on just recruiting type of thing. And maybe that's even the score across college basketball, but I think it makes it fun because you just don't know from one night to the other, who's going to win. It's not as predictable.
You are listening to the Assembly Call IU postgame show. Remember to check out our friends at Homefield Apparel, homefieldapparel.com. Use the promo code HOME at checkout to get 15% off your first order. Gentlemen, it is time for last call. Ryan, why don't you lead us off?
I'm just going to reiterate something I said earlier. Do not take Trayce Jackson-Davis for granted. Watch every game he plays, every minute he's on the floor, if you're an Indiana fan, because we're not going to get one like him for a while. A guy who stays 4 years and is pretty much dominant for 4 years, and obviously an increasing level of dominance as he goes along. Today, against a really good Michigan State team, 31 points, 15 rebounds, 4 assists, and 5 blocks. The stats people are telling me, he has now tied Jeff Newton as the all-time leader in blocks at Indiana. He's creeping up on 2,000 points, 1,000 rebounds. He will be the first player in Indiana history to do that. And it's going to happen, barring any kind of crazy calamitous thing, he's going to get there. And we need to appreciate him while he's here. And I know we come on here for the game ball sometimes, and there's this tempting thing. I mean, Tamar Bates had a great game today, and it was a big part of the win. And you want to give it to Tamar Bates because he was so good, or Trey Galloway for stepping up in the second half. You can't, because without Trace Jackson Davis, where is Indiana? And he is just an incredible player. He's an incredible kid who has stuck around through some really tough times, and he's shining in his senior year. And he is right there for Big Ten Player of the Year and National Player of the Year. He's right there, and he's going to continue to be right there. And we're all going to think he deserves it. Whether he gets voted it or not is another story. But he is having a phenomenal season, and we need to appreciate every minute he's on the floor.
100%. Coach?
Juan, just really fun watching this Indiana Hoosier team play the way they are now, and just really nice that they've bounced back ever since, you know, the trip to Las Vegas. Something had been missing with this team, and they have seemed to find it. But we all still need to be prepared. It's a long season, and now teams will make adjustments towards us and scouting reports and everything, and the Big Ten is just a grind. There's going to be another loss probably at some point, another poor performance at some point. But I think this team maybe has realized what it has to do to try to counter, having that month of bad play, and let it be a day or a week at most going down towards the season. So, you know, we can't be satisfied with these three wins either. We're 4-4 in the Big Ten and 6th in the Big Ten. This team had sights on the Big Ten championship. I don't know that that's reachable. With the way Purdue is pulling out games and winning, only three games back in the loss column. But, you know, I mentioned this the other night about, you know, we got to be better as fans when we lose, and that includes probably all of us. And then we also got to be better when we win, too, to not get to the mountaintop and then down to the bottom and back to the mountaintop. I mean, this is a good basketball team finding its way without players that are key. And we're finding a way to win, and hopefully that will mean something in late February, March, when and if we get X back and a fully a race back, that we can be playing the way everyone expected us to play. So lessons learned, great, but now carry it forward. I mean, you really got to be focused on not resting on their laurels for just three games.
By the way, that's the other lingering question that we didn't really mention. What impact is Race Thompson going to have moving forward? You know, he practiced once leading into today, so obviously he's got to get his conditioning back. He's got to get that knee. You know, it will need to continue to improve. I'm sure it's not 100%. He's got that brace. So, you know, what will that look like? We'll know a lot more Wednesday night against Minnesota. Hopefully he'll, you know, be able to have a week of practice. The knee responds well. Because getting him back, I mean, even if Jordan Geronimo takes a few more of his minutes, and if he's not playing the full role that he had before, just having him back is going to be so big for this team. And so we'll see what impact he has. But look, it's been a great 8 days of basketball for this program. You know, getting this season turned around, starting last Saturday against Wisconsin, and then here today. And I think the best part about this game today is, you know, I felt pretty confident coming into it, and we got a 13-point win at home against Michigan State, and it's not that big of a deal. You know, it's a big win, but as you guys said, this is kind of what was expected this season. And the expectations changed a little bit when X goes out and Race gets hurt, but we sure as heck knew that it was better than what we saw against Northwestern, Iowa, and Penn State, and that's what these guys have done, is, you know, really just turn things around, play terrific basketball. And so now they've got another big week ahead with two very winnable games. And I don't think it's going to be a surprise at all if Indiana comes out and wins both of these games. Now they could, you know, they could lose them. It's the Big Ten, you know, so they've got to, as Coach said, not rest on their laurels and stay focused. But this team has kind of put itself back in the position now where you can kind of have some confidence with the way that they're playing. They're winning in some different ways, and playing together and playing hard and just playing a really fun brand of basketball. It's been a joy watching them. And I'm looking forward to seeing how they respond and how they come out Wednesday night against Minnesota. All right. That is going to do it on this edition of the Assembly Call. If you want to see us do the show live and be part of the live chat, make sure that you subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/assemblycall. And don't forget to go to join.assemblycall.com to join our free email newsletter. Special thank you to Bob Thompson for the music you hear on the show. And special thanks to John Ringer of rigdesign.com for designing our logo. And thank you for listening, of course. We'll be back to talk IU hoops again with you Wednesday night. And, of course, catch Andy and Coach Marlowe on Doing the Work. and I went way too long and messed up the music, but that's okay. Until all that happens.
Take it from me, Christian Wofford. Keep your elbows in and your eyes on the rim. Go Hoosiers.
Exactly. So, yes, check out Andy and Coach Marlowe on Doing the Work after the IU women play Michigan State. And there we go. Nice show, fellas. Well done.
Nice to be back.
It is. Nice.
Hey, man.
Nice to just have the season back on track.
Less than 2 weeks.
We're going to be there. I know. I'm talking to Galen Monday. So hopefully we'll have some more details on where we're meeting up. Things will be, you know, a little more casual this year than they've been in the past. And that's something we'll look to fix, probably, you know, plan ahead a little bit better so that we can have more of an organized meetup and show. We're not going to be doing that this year, but our whole goal in coming is just to see as many of you as possible. So we'll be hanging, having a place for all of us to meet up. And so we'll give you the details on that as soon as we have them. But yeah, that Purdue game's coming up, and this Indiana team needs to keep rolling because that could be a really meaningful game in the race in the Big Ten if Indiana takes care of business ahead of that game. So
hope you already had your tickets, guys, because they're going to be very expensive moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they are. Are you guys going? You going to the game?
I got a credential from JD. Very nice. I will be there. I'll write a feature on the team. I was going to actually write one after the Penn State game, and I held off. I'm like, well, let's see where this goes. And we're in a very different place now, so I'm holding off until the Purdue game because I think that'll say a lot.
All college basketball pieces should just be held until the end of the season because no.
Absolutely, I try and be as broad as possible when I'm writing them because by the time I publish that night, it could completely change. So I was kind of pushed to write one, and I was like, hey, let's see how this goes. And I was halfway into it after Penn State, and I was like, you know what, I don't feel right about this. Let's see what happens next.
Nice.
And then I was like, well, they beat Wisconsin. Nah, I'm not going to write it yet. Let's see how they respond. They beat Illinois. I'm like, well, let's wait for the Michigan State game. Let's, you know, that's the big one. It's some guys on Illinois.
Well, don't write one now because then we're going to stub our toe against Minnesota. Well, so just pick on some other subjects.
I've come this far. I'm waiting till Purdue. That's it. I'm going to see him in person, and that'll be my reason for writing.
There you go. Very nice. Yeah.
How about Joe Burrow right now, guys?
What's happening?
It's 14-0, and the Bengals have the ball back.
Oh, damn.
I love Joe Burrow, man. I love how much swagger that kid has.
Yeah, Joe Burrow is awesome.
And I love, like, not just the swagger, but I love that he is, like, never impacted by anything going on in the game. Like, he is always the same heart rate the whole game. He's a new Brady, and I don't mean he'll win 7 Super Bowls. I just mean, like, the way he approaches it and just never rattled at all. Love it.
Yep. Okay. All right, guys, well, enjoy your Sunday. Go 49ers. That's all I have to say. Beat the Cowboys. And
said by the man in Dallas.
By the man in Frisco. 5 minutes from true. Jerry's Wonderland at the Star.
I forgot you were in Frisco,
good
too.
Good Lord, man. That's insane. I mean, a place like that would be so great if you were a fan of the team.
Or even if just you were neutral. Like,
right. Yeah. But you know, the Cowboys.
It'd be a great place to visit occasionally. Yeah.
God. So. I know. All right, everybody. Talk to you
take care,
on
everyone.
Wednesday.
Later, guys.
See y'all.